Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find present and future episodes of this podcast at 91.7WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
Welcome to the interview with our tech or library departments. I'm Layla King, and I'm here with Mr. Teeny. What are you? What do you do?
So my official job title is systems manager. So that means I'm in charge of the entire school network, all of our servers, all of our wireless stuff, security systems, and all the Chromebooks and projectors and stuff that you guys use in the classroom every day at the high school too.
That's a lot. lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did so much because that was just going to be my main question because I never knew exactly, although I knew you were like a huge part of our tech department here. I just didn't know all you did.
Yeah. So that was, things went down yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Everybody was clearly aware of that.
Yeah.
That was a power situation in our data center, that room in the library that's got the tall black racks with all the blinking lights.
Yeah.
That's our data center. So no power, no nothing for anybody else. So
yeah, that was, I don't know. I mean, I was in a period where it didn't really matter for fifth period. So it was like fine, but that was crazy.
Well, you know, credit to the teachers. A lot of them, you know, had a backup plan and just kind of ran with it.
Yeah. I remember one time it happened like last year and
so that's why we built that room.
Oh my gosh.
So we had a couple, last school year, last semester, we had a couple of bad scenarios right in a row that, I don't want to sound like a kid, but they weren't our fault. The town was installing new water lines and they were excavating in front of the school and backhoe operator hit our fiber optic lines.
Oh,
just dug right through them. So that took us offline for a while. Mm-hmm, and then we had a power situation near the loading dock in the back of the school that cut off power to this entire section of the building. So radio station, library, and half of the kitchen.
Oh,
so
that's quite a big deal. Cause I mean, the library kind of needs that, the radio station definitely needs. Wow. That's crazy.
Right.
But how long have you like been interested in doing a job like this in terms of like tech or whatever?
So honestly, that's probably one of those things that really probably started early childhood. Mm. So I'm a kid that was born in the 80s. Really did most of my growing up in the 90s. But man, when I got a hold of that first Nintendo Duck Hunt and Mario in 1989 is when I got a hold of it. I was just fascinated. I was enthralled. I was always kind of drawn to that. Home stereo systems, arcades, when arcades were a thing, mm-hmm. arcade cabinets. So obviously the fun side of stuff. And as I started growing up, we got our first home computer, and I want to say it was about 1994. Mm-hmm. It was black and green only.
Oh.
For this tiny little 13-inch screen, but I don't know. So I guess it was just kind of always there. I was always dazzled by electronics. So by the time I got to high school, my high school actually had an information technology program.
Oh.
So we had a networking class. We had server administration class. We had web design class. And I never really turned back. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was just always there.
Yeah, that would make sense from when you grew up. But when I was younger, I used to be really interested in like coding and stuff. And my cousins used to code or whatever. Oh, would you ever be interested in anything like coding wise? Or like, do you do anything like that at all?
So to a limited degree. So coding is very much a specialization. When people say, you know, hey, do you work with computers? Do you work in IT? That's a very broad umbrella.
Yeah.
So I have as necessary, but it's something that I've sort of more poked at or flirted with, mm-hmm. if you will. I don't know if I would transition my career at this point in my life.
Yeah.
I'm already 20 years into system administration. I will say, though, that those who are good at it are good at solving puzzles.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
If you're a puzzle person, then coding probably works out pretty well for you.
Yeah, I mean, I tried my hand at it, and I was like, whoa, this is this is very confusing.
Well, and it can be. Well, and there's all the different languages.
Yeah.
You know, some of the older ones, you know, Java, C++, they're not even close. It's mm-hmm. the difference between trying to learn German and Mandarin Chinese at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
It's a big challenge.
It is. But what's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color?
A little side route, I guess.
Sure. Well, I guess some shades of black. I don't know. And I guess that kind of goes back to the technology stuff. I think most of our equipment.
It's definitely a slick.
Yeah. Slick black. It looks to me the most sharp, the most slick, the most.
Thinning, I guess.
Futuristic, if you will. Slim. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants a huge bezel on their screen. So we want a thin black line. So I guess that in some capacity. I mean, that's what color all my shirts are, and my watch, and my phone, and
everything in here really is.
Yeah, everything black. In the studio space. Yeah, for sure.
But and then finally, just not finally though, but kind of like what went into setting up like all of our Chromebooks? Because I know you mentioned that you did that, and I've always been interested in how you did that.
Yeah,
so because you did it years ago for my class. Mm-hmm. But how did you do that?
So there's multiple layers to how do we get to Chromebooks, right? That's a big question. So the process really starts several years ago. So probably 2012, 2013 is when Education in the United States starts talking about
that would make sense.
About one to one. So that concept of one computer per one student. Mm-hmm. Some other districts were really kind of rushing forward all around the country. We were all kind of watching to see, is this going to work? Is this going to crash and burn? We don't know. So after the decisions made at the school board level, the leadership level to, yes, we need to do this. Uh-huh. Then the question presented to the IT department is, how do we do this?
How
do you make it work? Yeah. So the first phase was actually getting Wi-Fi in the schools.
Oh.
We didn't have that.
We didn't?
Everything.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, everything. So I started in 2007, and everything was hardwired. You know, we would just plug into the network. So that was the first question. How do we do Wi-Fi? And it took us about 2 years to roll that out because we wanted Wi-Fi in every corner of every building at all times.
Yeah.
So then the question became, well, why Chromebooks? Why not something else? It all came down to data. So all of your documents, your favorites, all your settings are in the cloud. Mm-hmm. Chromebook breaks, it dies, whatever. I can give you a loaner. I can't do that with a MacBook. I can't do that with a Microsoft Surface.
Oh, I see.
So what we didn't want to do was have students and teachers frustrated. They lost their work. They lost all their files.
You know, they just restart everything.
Right. It's like, hey, here's a new computer, but that paper you just spent a week on, sorry about you. We didn't want to do that to everyone. So Google was the only one that really had a solution at that time that fit. So once we make that decision, there's a conversation we have with what's called a channel partner. Mm-hmm. Right? So we don't buy from Dell directly. We buy from a distributor. We call them. We say, what do you have? How many can you get? And then boom, one day here comes a semi truck with 1,400 Chromebooks, I think was our first order. Yeah. And then at that point, it's good old fashioned grunt labor. Mm. Unload the truck, open the Chromebook, turn it on, log it into the network, put a sticker on it, put it in a stack. Mm. Now, I will say, starting this past summer, we were actually able to automate a lot of that.
Oh.
One of the guys in my department. Yeah. Mr. Waltermeyer, who does our IT stuff at Pendleton Elementary, he came across these very small Arduino circuit boards that we could program. So kind of going back to the coding thing. Yeah. So we do it a little bit, but you can write out a script. So a set of instructions.
Yeah.
Turn the Chromebook on, plug this thing in with USB, just walk away, let it go for about 2 minutes, and it's automatic. So it turned 3 weeks worth of work into about 3 days worth of work.
Wow, that's great. And just this past summer too, that's really quick and easy.
Yep, it was.
Mm, what about our passwords? Was it just a randomized thing?
It was absolutely randomized. Mm. We actually used an Excel, Excel spreadsheet program. Mm-hmm. We used a script. So again, a little bit of coding there. We gave it a set of rules. You know, we said, give us 2 4-letter words and a 2-digit number. And I need 4,400 of them for all the different students. Go.
Wow.
So it kicked them back to us in about 2 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. So they were totally, I mean, it's way faster than we would be able to.
Just like picking them out. Yeah.
Right. And the problem we'd also get into if we did it ourselves, I think we'd kind of get a handful of words we'd repeat too often.
Oh yeah.
For your guys' security and privacy, we wanted them to be as varied as possible.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So.
But okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah,
thank you for agreeing to interview. And this was a great interview. You had a lot to say, so thank you so much. But anyway, this is the end of my little segment of our little podcast. Yay!
Make sure you stay tuned because we will be back right after this quick ad for yet another interview.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. My name is Dylan Brown, and today I'm joined with Mrs. Helpling, who is the librarian at PHMS, which is the Pendleton Heights Middle School. Thanks for being here with me today.
Sure.
So I'm going to start off with a pretty easy question. How long have you been a librarian?
Well, it's actually been 20 years, believe it or not. I've been with South Madison the whole 20 years. I started out at Maple Ridge Elementary as the elementary librarian. And I was librarian for 7 years. And then I was a second grade teacher for 3 years. And then Mrs. Reynolds retired. And so I was able to come over to the middle school and be the middle school librarian then when she retired. So this is my 10th year now at the middle school.
Awesome. Do you prefer the middle school or the elementary better?
I honestly like all ages of students. Mm-hmm. So I really like both ages. The nice thing about elementary is you get a different age every single period. And so you really get a lot of variety. With middle school, it's fun because they need more help with research. And so I enjoy helping in that area.
Yeah. Why did you originally want to become a librarian?
Well, believe it or not, my mom was a school librarian. And so I grew up in the summers going into her library and helping her. And so I learned to repair books, cover books, shelve, obviously, and take inventory. I mean, back then, too, she had the card catalog. And so I would alphabetize all the cards and put them in the card catalog when she got a new book. And so I learned a lot of the skills from her.
So you have a lot of experience.
I do. And then I graduated in 1991 with my bachelor's degree in elementary education. And at that time, the schools weren't really looking for a lot of teachers, so it was hard to get a teaching job. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up working with Indiana Wesleyan University, helping adults go back to school. So I did that for 12 years. But then when my husband and I wanted to start a family, I wanted a schedule that was better for kids because I worked a lot of evenings with Indiana Wesleyan. And so I went back to school and got my library certification. And so that's how I ended up then at Maple Ridge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny how there used to be a shortage of teacher jobs and now we can barely fill the teacher jobs?
It's so true. It is.
Things
change drastically. Yes.
Well, what does an average day look like for you?
Okay. Every day is different. And I really love that. I plan lessons. That's one of the things I do. I do teach lessons to the language arts classes. Mm-hmm. I also teach lessons to the life skills class. And so I create lessons to go along with the standards that they teach. I also help with research skills, with science classes, wellness classes. They'll come in and I'll help them find good sources. I'll help them write citations, in-text citations. I help them create citations for a works cited page. I even show them how to use EasyBib, much to the chagrin of many of the language arts teachers. But I also teach them how to check the citation to make sure it's correct. So I do a lot of lesson planning, a lot of teaching. I also maintain the library collection, which means I purchase books. I do have a budget that I can use to purchase new books each year. I process the books to get everything in the computer. I repair books. I take inventory. I also help teachers and students get materials for their lessons. That's one of the things I like a lot about the job. I make displays, book fairs. I promote reading.
Yeah, you do all kinds of stuff.
There's lots of reading incentives. We have like the reading raffle each quarter. We have a Young Hoosier reading program.
You still do the million word reading?
Yes, the millionaire readers. For readers that read 1 million words throughout the school year, they get lunch at Wendy's. And then we also have Reading Madness, which is a competition between classes.
Yeah. I forget what I was going to say. Oh, if it helps your point, the teachers now for me still let us use websites to cite if we want to.
So, good. So I'm
if that
thankful.
Helps fuel your argument, then
that's good. Mm-hmm. And even my college age kids were able, my own children were able to use those types of resources. So I think it's important to show the younger students how to use those as well.
Well, this kind of goes into that point. How has technology changed your job in recent years?
I have to admit that about 6 or 7 years ago, when we went from the Microsoft Office to the Google like platform, it was difficult for me because that's all I ever knew. I knew Word, I knew Excel, I knew PowerPoint. And so it was a little difficult to go to the Google platform. But now it's fine. I mean, they are very similar. And so, and everything that we did, like my library program was all web-based anyway. And so all of that stayed the same. And so it's important to just continue to stay up with the trends. So I'm glad we did that. Digital citizenship is a lot more important now than what it was 20 years ago. And so a lot of the lessons that I teach the students are about, you know, their digital footprints and
being responsible,
definitely being responsible in what they do.
Is it difficult to stay up to date with the technology changes and just like how people use it on their daily basis?
Luckily, South Madison's really good about giving us time where we can go to workshops. And so I go to workshops, I watch webinars and try to stay up on the new things. Also, in the lessons that I teach to the students, I like to try to incorporate technology just because that they're interested in that.
To make it relevant.
Exactly.
All right. Has the emergence of ebooks made it harder? Like, do you feel like you're competing with ebooks in a way?
The funny thing is everyone thinks since students are so embedded with technology right now that they prefer ebooks. They actually do not.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah. Students will be waiting for a book and I will say, well, the ebook's available, and they will choose not to read the ebook, but wait for the real book. Yeah. So I have about 850 ebooks that are available. It is good, especially for struggling readers because they are audiobooks too.
Yeah.
And so they can see the text and hear the text, and that helps with comprehension. So that's good. It's good too for students who have lost books and can't pay for them.
Oh yeah.
I used to have, well, I still have a bunch of old paperbacks that they could choose from. But now they have all of these ebooks that they can read right on their Chromebook.
Yeah.
So that's good. One thing that people don't realize too, ebooks are actually just as expensive, if not more expensive than regular books. Also, the publishers know that the books are good forever. And so they do things like for $20, you can purchase this book for 24 months.
Yeah.
Or for $25, you can purchase this book for 36 checkouts.
So like a rental, basically.
Right. And so I'm really careful to only buy the ones that I have forever.
Yeah.
I feel it's the best use of money.
Mm-hmm. What benefits do you think people get from reading that they wouldn't get from apps on their phones, for example?
You know, I like apps on my phone too. I do Wordle and I do like a Sudoku.
Well, those are like educational good thing. For you apps. I mean, talking like Angry Birds and stuff like that.
Well, Angry Birds, the things like that, they give high eye-hand coordination. They help quicken your reflexes and things like that. So it's not horrible. But reading, honestly, it's a skill that makes you successful in life.
Yeah.
If you're going to be successful in school, you need to be comfortable reading. Every higher level you go in education is a higher reading level of expectation. And so therefore, if you're not competent in your reading skills, you're going to struggle in learning. So the more you read, the better reader you'll become. So it's super important for that. It's also important just for prediction skills, forecasting, you know, summarization, even just solving problems in real life. If you see people doing that in a book, you're more able to do that, I think, on your own. Yeah. So I think it gives you a lot of skills that are good for life.
Absolutely. I can't think of a single class right now that I don't read in. Yeah. I don't think there is one.
Right.
Do you enjoy interacting with the kids?
I love interacting with the kids. It's really my favorite part of the job. Mm-hmm. I like helping them find the materials they need to be successful, because I just want them to be successful. And so that's really my favorite part.
If you have one, what is like the hardest part or your least favorite part of the job?
Honestly, the most difficult part about the job is that I can never get everything done.
Yeah.
And so
have like a million things to do.
I do. So I find like I have list after list after list. So I have the short term list. I have the medium term list, and then kind of like the vision list of what I'd like to do. And so it's just always going back and forth between those. And I've also found it's good to have places that I can put my projects away, so they're not like staring me in the face when I have to do something else.
Yeah. Do you enjoy working at the middle school?
I do. I love the middle school. We're blessed with a gorgeous, beautiful new building. Love the library.
I love the middle school.
I know. It's really cool. And the teachers are awesome. Administrators are awesome. The students are respectful. I love everything about the middle school and everything about my job.
Yeah. Now, I have just a bit of a personal question. What is your favorite kind of book to read?
I honestly like historical fiction. I really enjoy that because I really like seeing different parts of history and then the story part of it. I really enjoy that.
So like make it fun history in a way.
Yes, exactly.
What is one thing people may not know about your job?
One thing I think that rarely people realize is that to be a school librarian, you must be a certified teacher. And then you also must have the library certification. So it's actually more education than even a classroom teacher. And most people don't realize that.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about today?
You know, I really love the WEAM program. I'm so thankful that the school has this. It's a great opportunity for students to have just real life skills of interviewing and being on the radio and calling games and, you know, having their own shows, podcasts and things. It's just, it's a great experience. And I'm thankful that we have that in our corporation.
I could not agree more. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for being with me here today.
Yes, thanks for having me, Dylan.
Don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back after this quick ad for another interview.
Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone, but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Hi, I'm Ethan Lincoln, and I'm here with Mrs. Moore. Go and say hi.
Good morning.
So, I am going to have a couple questions to ask you here. And so, how would you help, like if a student came up to you and they asked you to help them research something, like how would you help them?
Okay, so I do, so I usually give them different sources, places they can go to look for whatever it is they're needing. Occasionally they'll need to have a book. So I not only help with searches online, but I also help with the materials in the library.
How do you go for promoting reading as opposed to like watching videos or using Google and Wikipedia?
Okay, so I talk a lot about what sources they can use through the library, and we have online ebooks that they can use, that they can rent out just like a regular paper book. I also give them ideas from the public library. There are lots of online reading sources. So if they don't want a book in their hand, they can read online or listen to audiobooks. So I try to give them lots of different sources and ways they can read.
How do you connect what you do in the library to student achievements in the Common Core standards?
Okay. That's huge. And I wish that we could get more of our core subjects to use the library more often. But for example, if it's the Vietnam history course, I've ordered a lot of materials for that, for them to use. So I just supplement whatever the project or the subject is. I try to support that with library materials.
All right. What do you think is the importance for teaching in the library? Like when everyone in like the English class goes down and You teach them about like what goes on in the library.
Okay, so I help a lot with research, and you know, we all know Google's an awesome thing, but if you're getting ready to search for a subject and you just search Google, you're going to find all kinds of things. And some of those are good for research. Some of those may just be someone's opinion or someone's story. So I try to help people narrow down their searches when they're doing research. And as far as promoting the library, just getting new materials. I like to book talk. I like to show on YouTube, there's a lot of book trailers, so I like to show those. Just encourage it in that way, and I'm excited about reading, so hopefully that carries over to what I do for students.
What do you think? So you obviously enjoy your job helping people out.
Research. I love my job.
What made you want to be a librarian?
Well, I taught elementary school, fifth grade for many years, and I just saw that it was a need to encourage students to read as they got older. Sometimes we get so busy with our homework and other outside activities that we forget about that basic learning tool. And so I was teaching fifth grade at Maple Ridge, and I just thought, you know, I think I'm going to make a career change. I still want to work with students. I still want to be in a school, but I'm going to head in the library direction and see if I can continue to encourage all ages to love reading.
So when you join the library, what like qualities do you think you would need?
I think librarians need to be welcoming and be enthusiastic. You need to have patience because you're going to help a lot of students throughout the day. I also do a lot more with the tech department than I did when I first started. So I've learned a lot about our Chromebooks and how to help students kind of troubleshoot with those. So you just need to be, I think, a well-rounded person. Like you can help all ages, and if you don't know something, be willing to go find it out.
Why do you think like all that is important?
I think it's important because reading is our basic tool that we need to be successful. So we have to encourage students to want to read. And, you know, I have students a lot that come in and say, I don't like to read, or I've never read a book, or I think they forget from a young age how much they were encouraged to read. And so I think it's important just to be successful in any career that you choose.
What are some things that you have to do in the library that you do really well?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think I work with students really well. I think that's one of my strengths. I'd stay up on what's new as far as ordering books, and that's very important because you want to order the things that you want to encourage students to read. And so I spend a lot of time doing that. And just working with the staff is really important too. When another teacher needs something, I'm willing to help them get what they need.
Is there anything in the library that you don't do super well?
I'm sure there is, but I can't think of what that is right now.
How do you make the library a place where people want to read or want to learn?
Okay. Well, I keep asking for our library to be remodeled because I think it's out of date. With tables and chairs, it's not conducive to comfortable places to come and sit and read. So, you know, that's one of my goals, is to try to make it a more comfortable place, a more up-to-date place. But for now, I try to put up signage that's welcoming. I try to just rearrange it so that it's a little more inviting. The tall tables and chairs seem to be popular places to sit. So for now, just to try to make it a comfy place as much as I can with what I have to work with.
So you're talking about remodeling. Would that like change where places of the library go, like where nonfiction would go, where fiction would go?
No, the shelves are pretty much permanent. I can move things around as needed. I can move the materials around, but the stacks are pretty much there. Unless you remodeled the entire room. When I talk about remodel, I'm talking about more furnishings.
Okay. What's your favorite part, like department in the library, like nonfiction or in nonfiction, like religion or?
Okay. So it's hard to choose. That's like asking me what's my favorite book. I don't think I could choose. But I have been exploring more memoirs and have read a little bit more of not biographies, but more stories of everyday people and things that they've been through.
Well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, just thanks for taking the time to ask. The library is important.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.